Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition to Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We appreciate you joining us this morning. And joining me in studio is our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Well, we got a good program lined up today that we'll bring our first guest on in about 10 minutes. We've got Tibi Zohar, the CEO of Dr. Globe. They have launched the first and only U.S. domestic online hospital shopping platform, you know, geared to really help exploit healthcare price inefficiency and, you know, really good work around, you know, hospitals and the cost. And then we bring on Lori Bridnich, who founder of HR Company Store, which is really a resource to really help HR and benefit executives source the right vendors, complete and execute a good RFP program. And Lori comes to us with a long arm of experience in the benefit and HR field. She's benefit and HR manager for companies like American Standard, National Basketball Association, Pinnacle Foods, GoDaddy, and Sprouts, the Farmers Market. So anxious to have Lori and Tibi both on the program. And both will be speaking at our upcoming IHC Forum West in Las Vegas on November 9th through 10th that we're co-locating with our private exchange forum. And Jonathan, we're kind of in full gear getting this program nailed down, right?
We are.
What are some highlights, Jonathan, that you'd like to share with the audience on the program?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, we're currently building out the program, making good progress so far. Some highlights from my perspective, you know, I think it's worth mentioning again what we're doing with CBiz.
Yep.
Talking with Emily Knoll, who's the National Director of the Well-Being Initiatives, and Jack Vassable and Dee Eddington, who, of course, is an independent consultant with his own firm, but he'll be participating as well. The story after story mentions the shift to well-being. You know, traditional wellness is kind of, in many ways, going by the wayside, and in its place, a more comprehensive programs are popping up in innovative workplaces. So, yeah, CBiz will be doing a session on breaking the mental health stigma. They'll be doing a session on building a culture of caring, which is kind of interesting. And Dee Eddington, that's actually kind of one of his sweet spots of his recent research. So Dee will be doing that one. Wearables and gamification, kind of going back to, you know, more traditional physical focus on wellness, but, you know, seeing how gamification can help with engagement efforts and, you know, sustained users with your wellness products. So, yeah, CBiz, I mean, for me, we're going to have, you know, one of those workshops on every track. So track 1 through 5, you'll be able to select something that will be led by a CBiz well-being expert. And I would absolutely say it's one of the highlights so far.
Yeah, and we're excited to have them really behind this group. And I think equally we talk about ACRAM, which is an employer-focused association that looks at corporate health risk innovation. And, you know, they're coming on board to build out a track around healthcare cost containment, looking at evolving trends, very important trends like direct contracting. They're doing a session on direct contracting. And they're also coming in and doing a session on kind of the unique needs of the public entities, city, state, county government, school systems, et cetera, that are,
mm-hmm.
are facing some very unique challenges.
Sure.
Session on educating and engaging the CFO, very important, you know, particularly when you get down to mid-sized companies, I think very, very important, you know, that HR and CFO are on the same page and things they need to do. And then I think, what was the other session, Jonathan? Optimizing the RX strategy, demystifying PBMs, another important, you know, cost stream, you know, throughout an organization where a lot of savings can come, you know, as employers better understand, you know, how to manage, you know, their drug costs and their RX strategy. So, you know, we're excited about those partners, but we've got a large group of partners working with us on this net from leading employer coalitions. You can go to our website, theiaccforum.com. I'm not going to try to name them all here, but employer coalitions, broker groups. You know, Les McPherson is going to join us, the CEO of United Benefit Advisor in our program. They're behind us. You know, Perry Braun with Benefit Advisor Network is on our program, and they're behind, you know, what we're doing. Leah Binder with Leapfrog. Is actually leading and putting together one of our main general sessions. Doug Geisner and Las Vegas Heels, a very strong, you know, pretty progressive group in Las Vegas, you know, around providers and healthcare innovation in Las Vegas, is working with us across our program and to promote our event. So we're excited about the partners that are joining with us to not only get the right people there but strengthen our program. Jonathan just make sure our content is well-rounded and coming together. And then kicking off our IHC Forum event, we'll have a multi-stakeholder panel, and Sander with Mercer is probably one of the leading healthcare consumers and thought leaders, is going to lead that panel, expert moderator. And, you know, joining him right now is Steve Auerbach, the CEO of Allegis, and Diane Anderson, Senior VP Corporate HR Benefits with Zions Bank, and we'll have another employer there and another stakeholder there as well. So we're excited where this program is. Anything else, Jonathan, when you look at Private Exchange Forum that we kind of want to highlight?
With Private Exchange Forum, yeah, we could talk about that. You know, I think given that we have TB coming up in just about 3 minutes now, and you know, what he's doing with his brand new platform. We'll learn a bit more about that in a couple minutes, but he will be participating on Laura Carabello's workshop on, track two. Mm-hmm. And it takes, you know, Laura is, of course, she's kind of been a primary connector voice in medical travel for, you know, years now. She definitely looked as one of the, you know, the sources with her newsletters and publications. So in that one, she says, you know, this is not going to be the same old discussion. Medical travel is changing, and the shift to, you know, domestic medical travel, where Las Vegas is trying to be like an epicenter of that. TB's platform allows for, you know, levels of price and quality transparency.
And that's also where you see a lot of direct contracting evolving around medical travel, destination health. You know?
Sure. So we'll have several sessions that kind of touch on that relationship between the employer purchaser and the hospital provider of care. So Laura will be leading a panel on, that is Wednesday afternoon, November 9. TB, who's coming up in a few minutes here, will be on that one, also with Jim Polsfoot with North American Specialty Hospitals. He's the CEO there. And kind of in the same vein, we definitely have to mention again Leah's session with the Leapfrog Group, how employers save lives and dollars with the hospital strategy. So, again, a lot of emerging solutions, relationships, et cetera, between hospitals and employers represented on this panel.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. And again, as we wait on Tibby to come on our program here, too, I want to remind you, we try to make this really cost-effective for employers and their broker advisors to get here and attend and benefit consultants. So right now, we have a Super Saver rate in place. It ends on 9/23. So you can go to our website, theiaccforum.com, and register at a very special $99 Super Saver rate. I'd like to bring our first guest in the program, Tibby Zohor, CEO of Dr. Globe. Tibby, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Great to have you on the program with us today.
Thanks very much for having me. I'm honored, you guys.
Tibby, give our market or give our audience a little backgrounder on yourself and what Dr. Globe is doing, and then we'll kind of take a deeper dive together.
Well, thank you very much for having me this morning again. I'm a 37-year veteran in financial services, mainly insurance in the corporate world and benefits in both countries, in two countries. I actually immigrated to California in 2001 from Israel after 22 years of practicing that there. So I do have a little overview on human nature over the American one and kind of a more global outlook at it. And, you know, we're pretty much the same in terms of humanity and needs. Obviously, with the ACA at the end of 2012, just between the enactment and the implementation of the ACA, of the Affordable Care Act, I realized after all these years that the Affordable Care Act may not make care more affordable. And so and that's number one. Number two, I realized that probably the only industry that hasn't joined 21st century online consumerism is inpatient care. Out of the two most expensive things in healthcare, which is prescription drugs and inpatient care, obviously, prescription drugs has joined. You know, guys, how many emails, I don't want to tell you about what you get every day, and you can buy everything along every line and everywhere on the globe. While the obscurity of hospitals is maintained close to the chest, because there are big interests to keep it this way, and so I set out to find a way to usher inpatient care into 21st century online healthcare consumerism, and I think we've done a pretty good job.
So Tibby, take me through, you know, what Dr. Globe does to identify quality, solve transparency, and exploit this inefficiency.
Yes. So Dr. Globe basically is the first and only domestic hospital shopping platform, much like an Orbitz or an Expedia or a Priceline. Just substitute the hotels and flights to, you know, hospitals around the United States. What we've done is we've used big data about pricing, past pricing, average pricing of hospitals around the country to actually identify where the best way is to exploit the variance in price, which is much more overwhelming than anything else, than even the height of prices. I mean, you know, we found that you can basically send someone to have a heart bypass if you send them from California to Maryland, for instance. You know, and you give them 5% of bonus from the difference of price. This person would actually get a bigger bonus than the reimbursement that his surgeon in Maryland will get for performing the surgery. Only in America that could actually happen. It's a 5% of the savings. That's all. It's in the hundreds of thousands of difference. So that's number one. Number two, obviously, you don't want to get bargain treatment for bargain price. So the second thing that we looked at, besides exploiting this difference, is what's the correlation between between price and quality in this country. And this is, of course, it's stunning. You know that if there is correlation, it's inverse. the lack of transparency, the lack of a market created an anomaly that hasn't, of course, you know, consumerism could avoid looking at. And so not only you're going and getting that much of a difference, but also you're going to Johns Hopkins to do it.
Right.
So, and don't misunderstand me. It doesn't have to be across the country. It could be across the county. Okay. It could be, I mean, here in San Diego, in beautiful La Jolla, you can find two hospitals half a mile from one another. One is UCSD and the other one is Scripps La Jolla, both beautiful. One is 25% charging above average for a knee replacement, and the other is 35% charging under average for the same exact thing. Some physicians actually operate in both, and no one knows.
Yeah, it's amazing the correlation between price and quality, like it normally exists in other markets, is somewhat non-existent in this market, to your point. Tell me about, you know, the business model to be, I mean, do the destinations themselves support this? You know, can employers and others come in here and use this at no charge? Tell me about the business model.
Yes. So first, in terms of the providers, we decided that a real consumerism, to really make a real consumerism environment, we need to, in a sense, disregard the providers as though they were retailers, in a sense. Okay, we took a different stance. What we found was that along the years, in the past, two ways kind of evolved of mitigating this issue. One is to negotiate your pricing, which the big carriers did already, and I don't think anybody could really do better. Okay, I mean, in essence, they've done a good job. So one way is to go into Neiman Marcus and say, let's negotiate the price. Okay, well, you can do that. I don't know how many consumers would do that, but let's say that's one way. The other way, of course, that sprung along the road is the reference-based pricing model, where you go into Neiman Marcus, you buy whatever you want, you get to the register, you say, I have $20 for you, this is what I think it's worth, okay?
Right.
Or whatever it is. And it may work as well, but it's not consumerism, so it's fine. So we decided to actually have big data to look at those providers at those hospitals as providers of their services, and then actually kind of implement. Imagine you're driving, you know, your car, and you look on your right hand side of the road, and you see an outlet, okay, that has all brand names. And you know that you can see Fifth Avenue, you see Nordstrom, you see everywhere. What crosses your mind is, hey, if I go into this one, I may actually find the same exact things for 30% less on average. Is that correct?
Right.
That's what goes through our mind. We see outlet. Oh, everybody's celebrating. So imagine in this environment, to kind of analogize what we've done, imagine your daughter needs a prom dress, okay? For her, at that age, is as important as a triple bypass for me at my age, okay? So she wants a prom dress, and you give her your credit card to go buy the prom dress. Now, you don't know what the bill would be, do you? It's an unknown. She hasn't gone yet. If you had two other daughters in the past doing it already, it doesn't help you much, does it? It's past claims. This is a new claim. You don't know what's going to happen either way. Kind of analogizing. Now, would you rather she took that credit card to the outlet or to Nordstrom or Fifth Avenue itself? That's the question. Okay?
Yep.
And the same exact dress for less. And so that's what we've done. And so what we're doing is we're making every patient, every employee, the center of the universe. We look at a radius around that center, and our algorithm would find what the average price for this particular procedure has been around that parameter where this employee would go anyway. And then we're displaying and ranking everything around the country that charges less than that average. and not just a little bit less, but less after adding every expense, because we have a bonus system here to, you know, engage the employee. Everything is included, so it's net savings.
Okay. So Tibby, so if I'm an employee, I can come in and access your service at no charge. Am I correct there? So if I'm a consumer, I'm an employee, I can come in and access and utilize the service for no charge? Is that
correct? Correct.
Okay. And then are providers able to position themselves there at no cost, and then you take a percent of the transactions, or how does it work? How does the business model work?
Yes. So our model works by charging the employer. The hospitals play no role in this. We don't get paid by hospitals because they don't play a role. All we do is we either in network or out of network, depending on the system this employer has. We're looking for quality hospitals that charge under the employee's average. So the employer would pay us $1 PEPM, okay, just $1.
Okay, so it's PEPM. Okay, got it. Okay. So it's the employers that are paying for the service on a PEPM basis.
Well, it's actually a combination between the PEPM and some share of whatever we save. We make sure that the PEPM would be compelling enough, which is just $1, okay, obviously. And then once the bonus comes in to the employee for actually making the right decision, we get our bonus too, which is 5% of whatever we save.
So you're being compensated on savings that you – that you are providing through your service. Okay, that's good. I like that. Now, when did you formally launch this, Steve? You went to the market.
Yeah, we launched about 2 months ago, and we had a press release jointly with our first customer. We got a very interesting first customer, which I think was a very, very good opportunity for us. We can either have this thing B2B. In other words, we can have the business use it, like a TPA or anybody use it at their offices, you know, which makes it, you know, the engagement even better. Or we can just push it to the employees, of course, to use themselves. That's fine. What happened with our first ClaimDoc is our first was our first customer. They're a claim auditing company that runs reference-based pricing for employers, and they're running it from their offices, and the pre-approval of those surgeries is done with our product. And so what happens, of course, we get better feedback, and we get 100% participation. Anybody that calls goes through this prism. Not prison, but prison with an M, Mary. This is really exciting. I just came back from training their team last week in Florida, and we had a real case. One of the mornings, we had a real case they couldn't resolve for 6 or 7 months, and within 15 minutes, we got UCLA, the number 3 urology hospital, to say, okay, one of the best doctors, they say, okay, then 15 minutes, Plastic Loeb did its job. And it was just fantastic. It's just fantastic.
That's pretty exciting stuff. Now, Timmy, is this national in scope right now, or where are you as far as building out connectivity with the providers across the country?
Yes, this is national, and I'm looking for self-funded employers through any intermediary, which is always making more sense because it's very hard to talk to them. They're always referring you to their consultants, brokers. So we go through that. Of course, TPAs, which we are already in contact. Interestingly enough, we didn't think about it, but stop loss companies find a lot of interest in this, of course, because they say, wait a minute, you know, we get to lower the spill to us by much if this is going on. We can actually lower your rates, you guys, they say to their brokers, if you use Dr. Globe. Now I do get phone calls from surgery centers and such as well. They want to sign up, and we're holding off on that. We're trying to focus first on the most common place everyone goes. And the hardest, of course, so far, inpatient care. And of course, remember, we do all surgical. So surgical centers would not do for a heart bypass or dilation sometimes or even bigger stuff for heart.
Mm-hmm. So How about medical claim management firms, or is that a little too far down the line for you?
Medical claim management, sure. I think it's pretty close to what ClaimDoc does.
Yeah, I think it is too.
And exchange,
you know, I know you've been with us at some of our exchange events. Are you having dialogue with some of the emerging exchanges and with the connectivity there?
Yes, I've had one connection through a TPA in Texas with a Chicago private exchange run by Maestro. Yes, and that may be a very good option as well. Any platform that would actually put us on, I think would have a good contribution to their members, no question. This is very exciting. It's springing every day, new possibilities for this, because as you know, nothing of this sort has been built, because it's been held back because there was no price. And without a price, you can't build an Expedia or a Priceline without a price, obviously.
It's been great. We're kind of coming to close this segment, and I want to give you the opportunity to kind of close it out and leave our audience with some takeaways, plus let them know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, no problem. So basically, we're the ultimate hospital shopping platform surfing your existing network and benefit plan. So in other words, we're not a substitute to your plan. We're just surfing it. We can plug in and look within your Aetna or any Buca, network. So we're the most flexible. We can look in network, out of network, and our whatever. And then we're the most adoptable. I mean, any employer can say, you know what, I want to save minimum $5,000 on each procedure and no less than 20%. Whatever it is, we can tweak anything. It's totally adoptable. And we find and rank quality care providers who charge under average price in the area of the user. And finally, we're the most affordable. You know, $1 PEPM, and then, if we save, if we get them to go, which is the thing here. How do you get people? How do you start controlling and nicely, not and just affecting their decisions or their habits through action? So we handhold your employee through an educating journey towards a rewarding recovery, because the employee will get no out of pocket, but above that, some kind of a bonus, some share of what they save the employees, which hopefully will get them to think. Sometimes it's a $6,000-$10,000 play here for the employee. And the only decision an employee gets to make here that is new is, do I want my money or do I want my doctor? That's all, because we inversed the process. We start with the hospital, because if we start with a doctor, no way to control the price. You guys know that. The doctor's at 5% of the price.
It's been great having you on the program, and people can go to drglobe.com, correct? Drglobe.com.
Correct.
And I want to remind our audience that he will be speaking at IAC Forum West in Las Vegas, November 9th to 10th, where you can come in and meet Tibby and talk more about how Dr. Globe can help you. Tibby, have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You're welcome. Take care. Good stuff. Just where the free market's coming in and really kind of filling gaps and service to both employers and employees, helping to find the right care for the right price, right outcome, right quality of care. And they're doing good stuff. Had to wait on Lori to come in. We got a couple minutes here, right? Wait on Lori. About 2 minutes. We kind of touched on it, a lot to talk about, but Private Exchange Forum is co-located with IHC Forum West, November 9th through 10th. We're excited about that. We're getting good feedback from the market on that. We're going to open up on Wednesday morning with our general sessions on Private Exchange Forum. Then that afternoon, we'll open up IHC Forum West. And then integrated into our workshops will be a two-workshop track running through our workshops on Private Exchange Forum. But we're going to open up, with our opening general session, where we're talking about, hey, where are private exchanges and this evolving benefit technology market meeting expectations or not meeting expectations. We'll have a multi-stakeholder panel. We'll follow that by looking at, you know, providing the best consumer experience, empowering consumers to select, you know, the right benefits. Our afternoon, or our follow-up general session will then be brokers discuss innovations in private exchanges and benefit tech. How are broker and advisors seeing that as being a good tool for them to improve enrollment, improve, you know, benefit delivery, you know, for their employer clients? And that's where Les McPherson, actually the CEO of United Benefit Advisors, will be joining us on that panel. And then we'll close with our employer panel, getting employers to see where are they, where aren't they, you know, what's pulling them in, you know, what's keeping them out, and looking at private exchanges. Are they adopting, you know, and improving their benefit admin enrollment with these benefit tech platforms, and then evolving to the next step? So that'll be an interesting perspective. And then again, as a reminder, our workshops will be embedded throughout, you know, our program. So we're excited about Private Exchange Forum, you know, merging with or co-locating with IHC Forum West. And a reminder, you can access both of these events, both of this content for our Super Saver rate. Go to THEIHCCForum.com. I'd like to welcome on our next guest of the program, Lori Brednich, who's CEO and founder of HR Company Store. Lori, good to have you on the program. Good morning. Lori, good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Hey, how you guys
doing
today?
How are you? We're fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program. I really do appreciate it, and it's a great honor.
Yeah, you bet. Before we kind of take a deep dive into here, give our audience a backgrounder on, you know, yourself and the evolution of HR Company Store, because you have some really, you know, you got a good amount of quality experience as an HR benefit leader there that I think led to your vision here with creating HR Company Store. So kind of share that with our audience, if you would, please.
Absolutely. I started many, many years ago. I'd like to say, you know, when I was about six. I started working in the insurance industry. I've been in it 25 years or more, and I still can't imagine that I've been, you know, been doing this long. But started, you know, working with Horizon Blue Cross, and then I moved over to MetLife and really learned the insurance side of the house and spent some time at an equipment breakdown insurance company called Hartford Steam Boiler. So I learned production and manufacturing. And decided that my heart and my soul was really on the health insurance side. And I'm like, how do I use all this knowledge that I have and really make a difference? So I decided to move over to the employer side at that point, where I worked for American Standard back when American Standard also owned Trane Air Conditioning, so, and a small company called Wabco. I spent about 5 years there and helped them really create one of the, you know, their first wellness program, to the point we were actually written up in Business Week magazine. And this was back in early 2000 that happened. Left there, moved on to the National Basketball Association, and to this day I still can't shoot a basket to save my life. I spent a short time there, moved on to Pinnacle Foods Group. You probably have never heard of them, but you know everything that they make. Swanson Hunger Man Dinner, Duncan Hines, Vandekamp, Mrs. Paul's. And they're an iconic food brand manufacturer, and they're heavily unionized. So I spent a lot of time developing their wellness programs, obviously directing their benefit packages, negotiating the programs, and really created a program and the synergy around health and well-being for that whole organization. So much so that we took so much cost out of the cost stream. The last year that I was there, we had a -2 increase, and that was without transferring any more costs to employees, and that was without reducing benefit. Left there because I wanted to move to the sunny state of Arizona, and I was at GoDaddy for 5 years and helped them last year get on the Fortune Best Place to Work list, and then most recently Sprouts Farmers Market. So after having spent, and I think I added it up one day, I was close to about $500 million of company money that I have spent over the years. I've been very frustrated with how do I find vendors. You know, when you take a look at the world, you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. So as I try to look for unique and unique programs for the employers that I've worked for, you know, I've said, okay, well, there can't be only three people that do wellness or three companies that do wellness. There's got to be more than that. And then one day, I was looking at my husband, and I said, you know, I just wish there was this website that I could say I'm an Arizona employee, I have 5,000 employees, and I'm looking for, oh, my Lord, that is an awesome idea. And that was the beginning of HR Company Store. So really took that idea of, you know, creating that online platform or that Yelp or Angie's List for the HR professional. And we started about a year ago with the idea, and really it's been the last few months that we've had a product that we've been able to sell to the vendor market, so the vendor partner market.
So Lori, is the business model, do the vendors support this? Do they pay to participate, and then the employers can use this as a free tool? How does it work?
Well, I'll go the other way around. I'll start with the HR professionals. Having been an HR professional for as many years as I have, I realize it's almost impossible to get a dime. So it's completely free for the HR professionals to use. However, the vendors have marketing budgets, and this is really a B2B marketing opportunity for them. But we didn't want to exclude any vendor. We didn't want to say, well, you can't play if you don't pay. So they have the opportunity to create at least at a minimum a free profile to be able to say their name, their address, and what one of the 70 categories that we have listed on the site. They can identify which company, categories they do business in, and they could do that completely for free. Or they can upgrade to a custom profile where they can put in their logo, they can put in a video, pictures, they can put in marketing material where they'll get hot leads from the site, things along that line. So it becomes more of an interactive tool for them if they choose to upgrade, but we didn't want to exclude anybody, so we did create the free profile option.
Okay, so there's a fee that they pay. Is there a pay-for-performance type of arrangement too, or is it just a fee that they pay to participate with the larger, more rounded-out profile?
No, it's just a flat fee. It's a flat annual subscription cost.
That's great. So how does this work in conjunction with, you know, you put in your benefit and HR hat? I mean, you've got advisors and consultants working with you. So how does this work in conjunction with, you know, the advisors or the brokers or the consultants you have working with you? Or is this more geared to that small to mid-sized company? Where, you know, take me through that a little bit, if you would.
Well, I've worked for companies that had 20,000 employees and some as small as 3,000 employees. And honestly, the struggles are the same, no matter what size the company. It's really trying to find the vendors. It does not replace the consulting or the broker community at all. It actually enhances them. Because whether you're a company of 20,000 or a company 2,000, even the broker, regardless of what brokerage firm or consultant you're using, they only have access to what they have access to. This way, everybody has at least knowledge of all the players in the market, and then they can use that to enhance their knowledge base to be able to say, you know, let's look at the reviews, because, you know, companies change, perspectives change over time, and, you know, they may have worked with a company 2 years ago, but they may not have any clients working with them today. So even the broker and consultant community can use it to help enhance the value that they're bringing to their clients. There's never enough information on the site for anybody to, quote-unquote, make a decision. We don't allow any of the vendors to put pricing information on because, you know, 25 PEPM is meaningless, really, when you think about it, because you don't know what's included in that. And it may be different if you're a company of 10,000 or a company of 200. So it's really just to get the visibility out there and market the opportunity to have additional conversation, whether you're on the employer or the consultant side of the house.
Yeah, so you answered. So the benefit brokers and advisors out there and even consultants can see this as a tool to use along, you know, with their client as well. This could be a good tool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey,
we highly encourage
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So talk about some of the are there other services here? Because I mean, you have a lot of knowledge, and you actually did a nice piece with us on the art of the RFP that I want you to talk a little bit about. So are there other services here that you provide to really help that employer or even advisor who's using this tool?
At this point, no. It is just truly the platform to find the vendors, learn about the vendors, and decide which vendors that you want to begin conversation with. As we grow and we progress, one of the things that we'll be looking to is being able to provide blogs and forums so people continue to have, you know, conversations maybe not about a vendor but other things that are of interest to them. And we're looking for resident experts to help us create, you know, as I talk about during the art of the RFP, you know, trying to keep your number of questions down to a minimum. Well, we want to be able to help at each one of our categories, trying to figure out at least from a basic platform, here's, you know, 5, 10, 20 questions that you may consider asking to kind of help those professionals get at least a head start when they're going into this unknown world of trying to purchase services. Whether it's the first time or the 100th time, things are always different. So trying to help them out along that way.
And this helps them get to that more, to developing a more efficient RFP process. Talk a little bit about what, on the, if you would, about, you know, the art of the RFP and, you know, your five tricks to really making this successful. I thought it was a very good read.
Thank you so much. You know, I've purchased probably 200 different services, if not more, over the last 25 years. So I started off early in my career where my RFPs were, you know, 80 pages. And then I realized somewhere along the line that I had to read all of those responses. And where I wanted to ask all the questions, I realized that, you know, I send it out to 5 vendors. I have 100 questions per vendor. That's 500 questions I have to read the responses to and then keep it all straight. So my first tip was really keep it short. You know, the RFP really doesn't have to be a dictionary. It can be short. It's enough to get you to get them into the door for the finalist meeting. Yes, you need your basic questions about, you know, what is your account structure going to look like? What, you know, have you ever been sued? You know, are you insured properly? You know, there's a standard set of questions that kind of has to go with every RFP. But then there's the meat of it. And that meat, the intricacies, the things that you as the HR professional need to know, those really can be limited to 10 or 20 questions depending upon what you're purchasing. And if you can narrow it down to that 10 or 20, it's going to save you hours of reading time. So, but you're going to still have a ton of other questions. So instead of putting them in the RFP and making the vendors go and everybody answer them, put them on a score sheet for yourself, which would be tip number 2. You know, as you're going through this, put all the other questions that you have, the ancillary ones, on a score sheet. So as you go through the finalist meetings, you can literally ask the questions and write yourself some notes so you have something to go back to. That will be way more meaningful to you than it would be if it's in the RFP. Pay. The next thing that I recommend in the art of the RFP is to engage your procurement and your purchasing group. A lot of companies have them, especially if they're manufacturing or if they're making anything, when they have to buy raw material, they usually have somebody who's in charge of purchasing or supply chain, something along that line. Use them. That is what they're there for. We don't have to be the heroes and do everything ourselves. And it took a while for me to learn that lesson, but now use it all the time, because not only do they have the tools, there's actually all types of tools that they can use to help get RFPs out, manage that entire process for you, help you build questions, the whole bit. But on top of that, they can help you play bad guy. Because in the end, when you're doing finalist meetings and you're asking all the questions, you're going to pick somebody, and you have to now work with them for the next 3 to 5 years. So if you have to play bad guy from a negotiation standpoint, that doesn't set the right tone for your relationship going forward. So what you want to do is engage these folks and then work with them, and then if necessary, let them play the bad guy role. So then it kind of leaves you as, you know, I have to do, you know, we've decided, you know, we've cut your prices in half. We really want you to work with us. But now that was our, you know, our purchasing arm helping us through that. But now we can start building our relationship as we move forward for the next 3 to 5 years. One of the other ones is to talk to the vendors before you RFP. So let's say this is the first time you're purchasing this product, whether it's just something you've never experienced before, if it's a new product that's out there that your organization's interested in. Well, instead of going and, you know, calling your broker or you're calling your consultant, them going out to 3 or 4 people and building the RFPs and doing all of that pre-work where you're really maybe not all that sure of exactly what you're looking for, phone calls and conversations up front will help you dramatically. Find a few vendors, ask them for a half-hour phone call. Say, hey, what do you offer? Help me understand, you know, this is kind of what I'm trying to get at. Help me understand how your tool or your service is going to help me the best. And then once you've had several of those conversations, it will help you hone in on your actual RFP to what is actually important to you. And trust me, from the vendor side, they much prefer to have a half an hour phone call than spend 2 weeks on an RFP and then not get the business. And then lastly, the most important one is the question of who do you send it to? Well, that's where HR Company Store comes in. Because if you don't know, or if your consultant isn't knowledgeable in all of the folks that play in a certain category, you may not send it to the one that would do the best for you. So you go on HR Company Store. We have over 70 categories. We have already over almost 2,000 different companies in those 70 categories already uploaded with free profiles. People are going out there rating them. They're providing reviews on them. Go out and take a look. Go out and see who's in that industry. Work with your consultant. Work with your broker and say, hey, have you heard of these people? What do you think of them? And then together you can come up with a plan in order who do you should be contacting or who you should send your final RFP to. And those would be my five tips and tricks for getting through the RFP process as painlessly as possible.
That's great, Laurie. And we're kind of coming up to the end of the segment. This has been a great discussion and a great overview. Give our audience some takeaways you'd like to leave them with around HR Company Store, if you would.
Well, HR Company Store really is for them. It's really their design to help make their lives easier. And we want to encourage HR professionals to go out there and review and rate their favorite vendors. So much so that I'm going to surprise you guys. We are going to actually do a raffle. So for the first 1,000 reviews that we get from HR professionals, we will give away two Apple Watches on November 11th after the close of your forum. For every 1,000 more reviews after that first 1,000, we will add two more watches. So if we get 10,000 reviews, that's 20 Apple Watches that will be raffled off. From a vendor partner standpoint, if we have any of the vendors listening in on this, and they mention that they heard about HR Company Store through this podcast, we will give them a second year for free. So if they want to upgrade their membership or their subscription with HR Company Store, we'll give them the second year for free.
That's fantastic. And again, as you heard Laurie say, she will be at IHC Forum West. She will be speaking on the program as well as HR Company Store will be exhibiting there. So, come and see her and have a chance to talk with her. Laurie, it's been great having you on the program. I look forward to seeing you real soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You guys, too. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Take care, Laurie. Stop. I want to thank our audience for joining us this week on Healthcare Consumerism Radio. Another reminder about Super Saver, if you want to join us in Las Vegas for Private Exchange Forum and IHC Forum West, go to theihccforum.com. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.